the meeting to order. Tonight shares a memory of Avraham Ben Chaim, who's the father of Rabbi Chai Arbisfeld, and the art site is tonight, now actually. Bo Bayom, actually, is the art site. And you weren't here last week, but we thanked you in absentia, in advance, and also for the past, for you know all the good work that you do in organizing and arranging this year. So, well deserved. And the shiur tonight is in memory of the art site. Okay, so last week we began. Everybody was a little surprised that we began with the beginning. I think I just picked up some cynical comment about. Yeah, but anyways, we did begin with the beginning, but we'll be jumping around a little bit. What we noted last week was that the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin is really very wide ranging. And depending on how you understand it, it could be understood as posing a certain challenge for us to understand the different perspectives on Beis Din. In other words, the Mishnah, just to explain, presents different configurations of Batei Dinim as applied to different circumstances. Oh, hi. It's like old times. Circumstances. Ah, okay. Of din. So we have dinim amnis, just to give a few examples, bishlosha. Right? So, and that we'll see in a moment. That looks pretty innocuous. Dinim amnis, monetary matters, bishlosha. But as we'll see in a couple of minutes, that already is complicated because of the next. Sentence, right? Gzelus v'chavalos b'shlosha. Gzelus v'chavalos means robbery and personal damage, and that's also part of dine mamonis. So, what is dine mamonis? So, either dine mamonis is an introduction, colon, in other words, i.e., dine mamonis. What does it mean? Gzelus v'chavalos, or we just read the Gemara for a moment, or refers to hoda'os v'halva'os. Right, a different category of dinim amnis, one which is associated with, lending and, admitting that you owe money that you borrowed. For example, that's the Gemara starts off here on base on base. The Gemara says, Atu gzelus v'chavalos lav dinim amnis ninu. Right, the Gemara was acutely sensitive to the literary nuances of the Mishnah. But what does it mean, dinim amnis and then gzelus chavalos? Isn't it the same thing? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Avohu, mahein ktani, mahein dinim amnis, yinochanami. It means i.e. or a colon, right? What is dinim amnis? Gzelos v'chavalos. But then there's an implication, and that is that you're excluding something else. So that's what the Gemara says. Aval hodos v'chavos, lo. But not hodos v'chavos. Then the Gemara says, utzricha, itana dinim amnis, havamin afilu, Hodos v'halvos, tani gzelus v'chavalos, itani gzelus v'chavalos, v'lok tani dinim amnis, havamina hu adin, afilu hodos v'halvos, haidik tani gzelus v'chavalos, mishum di'ikar gimel d'chsivi, b'gzelus v'chavalos k'sivi, gzelus d'chsiv v'nigra balabais el hu Elohim, chavalos mali chavo b'gufo mali chavo b'mamono, so tana mayin dinim amnis, gzelus v'chavalos, ava hodos v'halvos, lo. Then the Gemara goes on to add, which we're going to leave for now. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the difference? We're regarding what? Ulamai. Ilei medlo binan shlosha, meaning you don't need three dayanim, or you don't need smuchim, meaning mumchim, who are formally authorized as judges. What exactly do we mean? Why do we mean it? We'll get back to that. But already you can see from the very quick shakavatari of the Gemara that already the very first words of the Masechta are confronting the question whether or not there isn't some difference, and we'll examine the Gemara later on, whether it's for technical reasons and is less important, or something more conceptually fundamental, but maybe there are different levels, different strata of Dine Mamanis, and maybe they have different requirements, either in terms of the numbers of Dayanim, or the quality, the stature and status of the Dayanim. And that's just, Dine Mamanis Bishlosha. If you keep going, so it's Gzelus V'Chavalos Bishlosha, that's already part of this a little bit. And then comes nezek, chatzi nezek, tashlumei kepel, tashlumei daled b'chamisha, b'shlosha. That's already a category of knossos. So knossos is part of dine mamonis. It's all part of civil law. Why is it, broken up? Again, as if it's a separate category. And then, to make matters even more intriguing, knossos itself is broken up into two. Ha'ones, ha'mefata, moti shemra, b'shlosha divra b'meir, ha'komin momra moti shemra b'esra b'shlosha, b'pnei she'esh bo dine nefashos. So there are two things here, of course. Again, the breakup of two different categories of knossos, which the Gemara speaks about later on. Number two, the question of motzi shemra, whether or not it is really a dine mamonis, or since it can lead, under certain conditions, if there's evidence of some sort of infidelity that took place within the context of the marriage, that can be a capital case. So dine nefashos. So again, on the simplest level, the question is how do you classify, issues of motzi shemra? Is it mamon until it becomes nefashos, or because it has the outside chance of turning into nefashos? So initially, it's a dine nefashos kind of a case. But again, in the bigger question, how do we define cases? Also reflects on the role of Beis Din and the possibility that Beis Din operates differently. I'll explain specifically what I mean in just a minute. Then the Mishnah continues, Makos b'shlosha, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru b'esrim b'shlosha. Another intriguing, classification, dilemma, right? Malkus isn't Misa, meaning you can walk away from Malkus, V'nikla Achicha, right? Actually, he becomes Achicha after V'nikla, but it is corporal punishment, very different, obviously, than Tashlumin. Than monetary restitution or compensation or even monetary punishment, all of which we'll discuss also. Those are three different ideas. But in as much as it's corporal punishment, it's close to nefashos. Do you need three or do you need 23? But later on, in the first parak, has a whole discussion whether malchus b'mokom misa omedes, or not. What is the status of Malkus? And it probably won't come as a great surprise, if I tell you that it isn't just a straightforward argument either, but it's a little more complicated than that. Even the people who think that Malkus b'mokom misa omedes understand that with regard to certain things, there's a distinction to be made, if nothing else, in terms of the finality of it, and of course into the terms of the chomer of it. Even people who think that Malkus and Misa are very different will acknowledge that Malkus, shares certain characteristics, and as much as we're dealing with corporal punishment and not something that you write a check for, with Misa. So this is, again, a very intriguing idea. And then the Mishnah rounds it out. Again, we're still in, roughly speaking, the ominous, that there are a few other cases as well. Ibra Kodesh, determining the, how many months there will be in the year. Bishlosha Ibra Hashana. Ibra Chodesh, determining what day is Rosh Chodesh. Ibra Hashana, how many months in the year. Bishlosha Divra B'ner, Bishlosha Gamliel Omer, Bishlosha Matchilin, Bechamisha Nosim Benosnim, Begomrim B'Shiva, Vim Gomer B'Gimel Muberis. It's a new configuration of 5 and 7. And then you have Smichas Kenim and Arifas Egla, which there's a debate whether it's Bishlosha, Divra Abshimid or Abihudomer Bechamisha, Chalitza Miunim Bishlosha, Netra Vaimaisa Shani Shain, Dom of Yeduin Bishlosha, Hekdeshas Bishlosha, Arachin Metaltalin Bishlosha, Rabbi Yudomer, Echemem Kohen, Karkos is Tisha Kohen, Vadam Kyotzabahem, Dina Nefashos is 23. Basically, you get the idea. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss what Batei Dinim require 23, what requires 71. So, we spent a little bit of time just discussing three. There's a variety in three. Two types of mamonos, two types of knossos, interface between mamon and nefashos, things like makos and motzi shemra. But then you have other things like Ibur HaShana, right? Ibur HaChodesh. Now, those aren't court cases. That's Beis Din acting as an authority. What's that? Well, there is Kabbalah Seidus, partly in some of that, but not in Arachin and not in other things. It's really Maisa Beis Din, though. It's not a Horas Beis Din. It's not Beis Din making a decision you know, based on their, you know, the combination of evidence and the law, but, you know, the authority of Beis Din, the imprimatur, if you will, of Beis Din, you know, defining some important, landmark, let's say, in Jewish life. And this is true for numerous other things. Then you have the Beis Din, I say, of 23, and then you have the Beis Din of 71. So you have to ask yourself the question, you know, how to look at this entire system. Is it just random and, you know, when the stakes are higher and the decisions are of greater consequence, so you need a, you know, wider, you know, security net, let's say, so you need more dayanim, you maybe need a higher level dayanim, or are the differences here, you know, really qualitative? It's as we'll explain going forward, a Beis Din of 71. I mentioned this last time. The Rambam Hilchos Mamrim says that, you know, Torah Shebal Peh, Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, you know, the repository of that is the Beis Din of Hagadol of 71, and they're also, you know, Sof Hara LeYisrael. They're the the final court of appeals. They're the embodiment of Torah Shebal Peh. They're also the ultimate decisors of policy or legislation, right? Misham Yotzei Chok Mishpat Ali Yisrael. So the idea that, contrasted this with American law, let's say, you know, that a lot resides in Beis Din HaGadol, you don't have the, you know, balance of power or the checks and balances that you have in other systems intentionally. Beis Din HaGadol wears numerous hats. Overlapping hats or completely discrete hats, meaning are they just the most qualified, you know, in four different areas, but one has nothing to do with the other, or, as seems more likely, not a coincidence that they're the most appropriate, you know, final, authority for all these different matters, and they're overlapping ideas. But the point is, if you just look at the structure here, what we're dealing with is really an entire network, which, you know, has its headquarters in Lishkas HaGazis, ideally in the presence of the Beis Din HaGadol, but, you know, which from there extends to Sanhedrin Ketana. Sanhedrin Gedola, Sanhedrin Ketana are sort of clearly connected. The rule is that as long as the Beis Din is sitting in Beis Din HaGadol is sitting in Lishkas HaGazis, Dine Nefashos, you know, can be adjudicated even in Chutz La'aretz, as long as the Dayanim mostly come from Eretz Yisrael, pretty much according to most Rishonim, come from Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mishnah in Masachet Makos of Zayin Amar Aleph, that Bez Noheges Baharet Ba'aretz B'Chutz La'aretz. Gemara says, like, how could that be? The Gemara says here in Sanhedrin that, you know, Dayanim Smuchim can only be appointed in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is, if they're appointed in Eretz Yisrael, and then they migrate, you know, they go, you know, to take their place in different diaspora communities, they can be done dine nefashos. But that's only as long as there is a Beis Din HaGadol sitting in Lishkas HaGazis. On the other hand, Beis Din Shel Gimel, a three-man court, which is going to operate in dine mamonos, that can function even when there is no Beis Din HaGadol in Lishkas HaGazis. It's interesting, that's never called a Sanhedrin, that's called a Beis Din. The qualifications for who can serve as a member of Sanhedrin Ketana, Gedola, and Beis Din Shel Gimel are different. One would have expected that there would be some sort of a hierarchy. You know, it's like the farm team, you know. So as you, and it's described that way in Chazal, and then the Rambam codifies it this way in Sanhedrin. Meaning you want to get you want to build up this network, you want to give people experience, and you want the best people to be making, you know, to the determinations at the highest level, you know, what Yisro called the Dvar Machashuv and the Dvar Magadolim. It's not a game. Not everybody who has a rabbi in front of their name is equal. Just like not everybody who has a doctor in front of their name, you know, is equal. Or lawyer in front of their name is equal. So you want the best people. You want to build a system that supports that. You also want a lot of different people involved because, concentrating everything in the hands of one or even a few, A, is a recipe for burnout. Moreover, there's a benefit having, you know, a wider group of even people on different levels involved in terms of, you know, the the building up of the system, different perspectives. But all that has to be, you know, balanced with getting the best psak, having a sense of, you know, proper hierarchy and authority, etc. So this Mishnah, you know, with its various threes and various 23s and various 71s and a couple of fives and sevens and tens, you know, mixed in, is really, the way you could look at this Mishnah, is that it's all about the intricate structure of the Beis Din system and network. And understanding it better is, something which will highlight the values that are important not only for Beis Din, but important for Klal Yisrael, as we'll see. Yeah?
Last week and again today, you mentioned the concept of appeal.
I mean, if there's a... right. No, go ahead. Ask first, and then I'll answer.
Right, right. No,
well, should I anticipate what you're...
Yeah. That's not part of the mechanism.
No, it's not in general. There might be something... Did you ask me last week about Beis Din and Sheva? Somebody asked me about whether there's a Supreme Court for every Sheva. That's the view of the Ramban. We'll try to see it today.
You mentioned it
last Yeah. Week. But that aside, we certainly... Ki pali mimcha davar...
Right.
What is that? It means that not only individuals, but if batedinim, if dayanim, are in dispute what the psak is, and in some cases, you know, a psak was rendered and there's some question by either baledinim or other dayanim whether that was correct or not, so then you'll go to the next bezin. Now, what happens in terms, I mean it in that sense, in terms of going forward, excuse me. Okay. You know how these things go. In terms of going forward, in terms of what the halacha will be, in terms of going backwards, you know, what impact that has. So let's leave that for the moment. Judicial malpractice is a big issue in halacha. It comes up already here on Daf, a little bit on Daf Beis Amud Beis.
Are you talking about the
Toyos? Yeah. So there are two issues. One is the judicial malpractice and when the Dayanim are held liable for the kind of mistake that they made. And of course, the other one is the overturning of previous psakim, which is also part, you know, what we associate with appeals, let's say. So I don't want to get into the details of that right now, but as it in terms of, you know, there being a deadlock or there being a question, and certain questions going to the highest court for ultimate decision making. In that sense, it's the court of highest appeal. Okay. So, what I wanted to do is, and what I started to do at the end of last week, you know, having discussed some of these things, is note one particular issue, and then Shalayin Aleph, and that's what the Mishnah says here. Mishnah says, "Ain't done in sashevet." See the asterisk about halfway down the page. "Ain't done in lo sashevet, lo sanavi sheker, lo es koin gadol, LLP bezin shel shivim v'yachad." You have a din Torah involving a whole tribe, navi sheker, koin gadol, that requires a bezin 71. Clearly, the point here is that these are national institutions, and therefore you need a national Beis Din response. This isn't a local question. Similarly, the decision to wage war when there is a decision, in other words, when it's up to Beis Din, it isn't obvious and it isn't obligatory, that's Beis Din Shel Ayin Aleph's decision. Also to expand Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Mikdash, that's a national issue. And another national issue, which is what I want to zero in on, Ein Osin Sanhedra is Lishvatim El Api Bezin Shel Shem V'Yachad. The decision to appoint smaller courts, that too is something that belongs to the Bezin of 71. So the question is how to understand that halakha. And in general, how to understand the obligation, if there is one, to appoint components, let's say, in the network of the Beis Din system. So for that, I want to go back, and this will highlight some of the other things that we've been discussing, to discuss the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim and some of the perspectives on this mitzvah. So if you look here on page 3, is it page 3? Yeah. Page 3, line 10. Thank you again. So the Torah says, Shoftim v'shoftim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha, Asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha l'shvatecha, v'shoftu v'sa'am mishpat tzedek. Okay? So, again, we're trying to figure out, you know, this intricate system of Batei Dinim, with all the different numbers, and, you know, the literary significance of the Mishnah breaking it up into even things with the same number that seem to belong in the same list, implying that there are different, you know, hierarchies, and that Bezdin's role might be different in some of these things. But before we get to all that, it's helpful to just understand, from the Torah's point of view, what the obligation, is there an obligation to appoint judges, what is the scope of that obligation, and what is the significance of that obligation, the implications of that obligation. So the Torah says that Shoftim v'Shotrim, judges and, let's say, you know, some sort of implementing or policing function, titein lecha, right, Lashon Yachid, also interesting, b'chol sharecha, on all of your gates, asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lecha l'shvatecha. Again, it's a bit of a peculiar literary read, this pasuk, and that always means that there are drashos obviously intended. V'shaftu sa'am mishpat tzedek. And you should, they should judge the nation mishpat tzedek. Even v'shaftu am mishpat tzedek, as I mentioned last time, is a bit of a problem. If you look at Rashi here, Rashi says on 17, v'shaftu sa'am mishpat tzedek, mane dayanim mumchim v'tzadikim lishpat tzedek. Appoint judges, you know, who have integrity, right, who will judge justly. This is taken from the Sifrei, except the Sifrei doesn't have the words, it just says, Mane dayanim mumchim v'tzadikim. The last part, lishpo tzedek, it doesn't have. Now, of course, you want judges who you appoint to judge justly. That seems obvious. Problem is that we have other psukim that already address that obligation. Lo sakiru panim b'mishpat, lo sata mishpat, lo saguru b'pnei ish. So that's what bothered the Mefarshim. They said, what do you mean? What do you need v'shaftu sa'am mishpat tzedek? We already know that the judges are obligated to be honorable, to act with integrity. Which is why the Sheoltos, and possibly this is what Rashi has in mind, it's hard to know, Sifrei maybe as well, suggests that v'shaftu sa'am mishpat tzedek doesn't refer to the dayanim directly. It's not an obligation of the dayanim to be done the tzedek. It's an obligation that whoever appoints the judges should, you know, have in mind justice, and, you know, should be objective in appointing, you know, this group. Mishpat tzedek, or appointing dayanim yesharim, is the obligation of the monim. But who are those monim? Who makes this call? And if you add the words of Rashi, lishpot tzedek, so basically you can understand this as reinforcing the other idea. In other words, the goal in the end of the day is a just result. Proper justice for the litigants, for Klal Yisrael, who appear in the presence of these dayanim. So you get that in two ways. Number one, you address the dayanim, you remind them of their obligation. And not only that, but even in an earlier stage of the process, right, we tell the mone hadayanim, right, to pick the right people. And that's probably what Rashi had in mind, right, that these are connected, and that's why it's lishpo tzedek. The question, if the lishpo tzedek is not there, and assuming that it's not implicit either, so is there a separate idea of being appointing dayanim mumchim v'tzadikim, which is separate from lishpo tzedek, considering that the lishpo tzedek is already taken care of by other psukim? Okay, and if so, why? I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. Or another way to look at this, to come from a different angle, let's say, is shoftim v'shotim tita nechal b'chol sharecha itself. Meaning, what is the nature of this obligation? So I think I mentioned last week, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, that there are very few monei mitzvos, people who count 613 commandments, but there are a couple of them at least who do not count shoftim v'shotim tita nechal b'chol sharecha, the smak and the yirei. And surely that's very significant. Why wouldn't they count? What do they do with the pasuk? It says shoftim v'shotim tita nechal b'chol sharecha. Now the Shiltos, who I mentioned before, basically says that the word shoftim v'shotim tita nechal b'chol sharecha is just the preamble for the last part. V'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek. So it's shoftim v'shotim tita nechal, right? V'shoftu mishpat tzedek. Okay? But there's no independent obligation to appoint judges. The obligation is, when you appoint judges, to do so with integrity. It's not a patronage system, as we discussed last week, or anything like that. It's a you know, meritocracy, and it should be done properly. But what the Shiltos is able to do, basically, is to neutralize Shoftim v'Shotrim as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. The Urayim and the Smak may have read that way, it's hard to know. Or they may simply think, as some of our Shema La Torah do, that Shoftim v'Shotrim tita nechal b'chol sharecha is an Eitzah Tova. It's good advice, but it's not a mitzvah. Why would it only be good advice and not a mitzvah? So the Ibn Ezra has this comment where he tries to explain the linkage between what preceded and this psukim. These psukim are the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Right before Shoftim is the end of Re'eh. Right there is the Parsha of Gimel Regalim. Right, that's the last thing you read. We just read it on Shmini Atzeres again, right? So the Gimel Regalim are the immediate, introduction to Shoftim v'Shotrim. So the Ibn Ezra says, well, you would think that if you go, you know, to Yerushalayim three times a year, that you could also take care of your judicial needs down there. They're definitely batei dinim in Yerushalayim, Lishas HaGazis, right? And then two other batei dinim Lishas HaGazis of 23, according to the Gemara. So that's what the Torah is telling you. Sure. Don't think that it's sufficient to do Aliyah L'Regel. In addition, Shoftim v'Shotrim tita nechal b'chol sharecha. But the question is, how do we take that? Meaning, the Havamina, which was, you can take care of your judicial needs when you're in Yerushalayim, basically means that having access to courts is a pragmatic idea. Meaning, unfortunately, even Jews, or maybe especially Jews, depending on your point of view, can be quarrelsome, right? And, I'm leaving it up to you to decide which one you prefer. There will be, disputes. And, we don't want people to be motivated, to go to non-Jewish courts. Ela mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem lefneihem v'lo lefnei arkos. Two, we'd like to neutralize strife as quickly as possible so that people can, live together, b'ahava v'yachva v'shalom and v'reyus and even v'shalom. Three, there's something called inui adin, right? We don't like to delay justice, if possible. So for all three reasons, access to din, quick access to din, efficient access to din, is very important. And maybe what we're saying is, we thought you could do that three times a year, and kamash malan, right, you need more than that. In which case, basically we've adjusted the idea that access to din, a pragmatic idea, requires more effort, right? More proactive, energy. But at the end of the day, right? That's all that it is. And in Ibn Ezra, it's hard to know. Maybe that's exactly, what we're talking about. Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush HaTorah quotes this Ibn Ezra. But then he has like an extra line or two in which he basically says, like kamash malan, that, while that might be efficient, efficiency isn't all that we care about. Ah, that raises the question. So what do we care about? If you can accomplish, the efficiency part of Shoftim V'Shotrim during the Regalim, right? So what's the need for Shoftim V'Shotrim? What do you need, a sitting or a standing court? Similarly, the Ramban here in his Perush HaTorah read the Rambam in a certain way. He read the Rambam as thinking that the obligation of Shotim V'Shotim Tita the Chabachal Shorecha is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Arts. If you look just for a second at the Rambam, look at the top of the page, page 3. Thank you. Top of page 3. And look at, very quickly, Mitzvah Saseishal Torah, says the Rambam, we'll get back to this, Limnos Shoftim V'Shotrim B'chol Medina Medina B'chol Pelech U'Pelech. There's an obligation min HaTorah to appoint judges, courts, in each, state, in each center. I'll explain what we need as we go forward. Sh'nemar Shoftim V'Shotrim Titan B'chol Sharecha. Shoftim Elo Adayanim Akvun B'Bezin U'Baledinim B'Oim Lefneim. Shoftim are judges, right? They hear the case of the litigants. Shotrim elibali makala ritzua heim omdu lefnei adayonim imesavim bishrakam berbechovos v'alachanuyos l'taken asharim v'amidos l'hakos kol me'uvas v'chomasem al pi adayonim. Interesting. The view of the Rambam is that Shotrim, right, have a broader, they're not just the bailiff, who enforces the court's ruling. That's the view of Rashi. If you look at Rashi ala Torah for a minute, look at number 12. Line 12. Shotrim Shotrim, Shoftim Dayanim Aposkim Sadin, Shotrim Harodin Es Ha'am Achar Mitzvasam. They're the people who strictly enforce the din, make sure it's implemented, the din that the Dayanim render. Right? Shemakin, the Kofsin, the Makal, the Bertsua, Ad Shikabal, Alav, Din HaShofe. The Rambam, here in the Sefer Mitzvos, has a Chinuch that follows the Rambam, has a much wider idea here. And that is that we'll explain why in a minute. The Shotrim are like truancy officers, right? They check on the weights and measures and the stores. You might not be so happy to see them coming, but, hopefully they're not walking around, brandishing their weapons, all the time, But either way, they're there to make sure that the religious standards of the community, are being taken seriously, in a broader way. They're still under the, purview of the Dayanim, but not in as narrow, let's say, a function as Rashi has. But either way, so basically,
it could simply be a question of whether what's a doraisa or what's a dorabonah, because certainly you had the argardamin on the weights and measures that's mentioned in the Gemara. Rashi wouldn't argue with that, so I'm just wondering whether it's just a question of how you interpret the term shotrim.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think it goes to the nature of what the mitzvah is here. I mean, the Rambam seems to have a wider understanding of the mitzvah, which we'll show in a minute, is consistent. Okay. They also are the people who bring people to court, not just the people who, implement the decisions of the court after the fact, according to Rambam, as opposed to Rashi. Anyway, then the second halacha, we'll get back to it.
But the line before is that they're market independently.
Yeah. So meaning they get their guidelines, the Dayanim kind of...
But the last line says that they can't independently do anything until they bring them to the basin.
No. They... Okay, no, that's an additional function. Not only do they go around and, and check on the weights and the measurements, etc. If they see somebody doing something untoward, they drag that person into court.
Yeah, but the line before says they mark it prior to dragging them into
both. Court. These are additional functions. It's a wider... sometimes some things they take care of on their own. They're also the people who will initiate cases. Okay. The second halacha says, "Ein anu chayavin lahamid bat tedin b'chabelach pelach b'chol irvi here." In halacha aleph, we said that it's actually the language a little bit. There it's chol medina medina b'chol pelach pelach. Here it's chol pelach pelach b'chol irvi ir. Ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvat. Aval b'chutzlar it's ein anu chayavin lahamid bezin b'chol pelach pelach. Shenemar titan lechol b'chol sharecha shav shav malakecha nosein lecha lishvatecha. So clearly the Rambam is mechalek between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. But as we'll get back to this, but for now, there are two ways to read the Rambam. What he really says, in the Reisha he says, that the thing that you have to do in Eretz Yisrael, i.e., kol pelech kol pelech kol ir v'ir, you don't do that in, you don't do the pelech pelech in Chutz Laretz. Right. So the two ways to read the Rambam are, the first way is the way the Ramban read it. Right? I mean, the Ramban is the Ramban, so we can call it quoted for it. Ramban basically understood that the Rambam meant that the obligation of Minui Dayanim is limited to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Chutz Laretz at all. He says, Pelech Pelech doesn't mention year by year, right? The Chule. But one could read the Rambam as having a more complicated view, as some of Farshim do. And that is what the Rambam meant was, in Eretz Yisrael, there's an obligation to appoint Dayanim b'chol pelech u'pelech and b'chol ir v'ir. In Chutz Laretz, there's an obligation b'chol ir v'ir, but not b'chol pelech u'pelech. Of course, that might be what he means. I believe that's really what he means. That's a little bit more challenging to explain. In other words, the black and white, the mitzvah applies fully in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah applies not at all in Chutz Laretz. Is a bigger, more radical, in other words, dichotomy between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, but the more subtle view, you know, allows for Minui Dayanim in Chutz Laretz, and the dichotomy isn't as great, but in a way the subtlety, the compromise needs to be explained. So we're going to try to explain that. Anyways, the Ramban read the Rambam the first way, that black and white, full mitzvah in, there's only one mitzvah, it applies fully in Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't apply at all in Chutz Laretz. So look at the Ramban. Ramban says, Siva Batara, Adu Elohim Yidabo Dvar Shnehem. The Chazal say Elohim means Dayanim here, that's why I pronounced it that way. V'nasan Baflilim. Im Kein Mitzvah Sheyuli Yisrael Plilim. Apparently the assumption is that Klal Yisrael has a judicial system. U'bir B'kan, Sheyasimu HaShoftim B'chol Areyem, Kasher Yitein Lahem Hashem Es Haaretz. This pasuk, Shoftim V'Shoftim, is teaching you that you are obligated to put this system in place in all the cities once you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Key 4, b'chutz la'aretz einam chayav l'man noslahem bezdin, according to the Rambam, as we'll see. That's his view of the Rambam. Aval, so what are you going to do in chutz la'aretz? I mean, mishpat achad yelachem. Jewish law, I'm not talking about mitzvahs atlias ba'aretz here, Jewish law generally applies to Jews wherever they live. Right? Most laws. So what does it mean that the obligation to set up the court system is limited to Eretz Yisrael? How could that be? We even say Sanhedrin no heges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz, right? So that's what the Ramban explains. There's no chiyuv minui bezdin, aval kasher yitzak hamuvas, when the victim cries out, yamdu olav haru'im lishbot, that will, you know, trigger the assembling together ad hoc of a bezdin. Uvimishpateim yishpatuhu, and they will judge them. Oz yalela, or yalel arts bismana, like Gimel Regalim. V'shom yishpatuhu b'malkam amishpat. V'hosad b'kan shotrim hemshu noksim b'dvar amishpat. Ulefize ein yisrael shemchutz arts mitzuvim l'man noslehem dayanim bayaros v'chein kasav arav remoshe. This is his reading of the Rambam, and later on he partially goes back on it. So the question I'm just trying to raise now is, the Ramban's reading of the Rambam is that in Chutz Laretz, right, there's no obligation, no mitzvah of Minui Dayanim. That doesn't mean there's no access to the courts, right? Obviously, the Ramban thinks that from an efficiency point of view, and just to, you know, echo what we said earlier, if we're concerned primarily about Inui Adin, you know, delayed justice, or the alternative of our cause, right? Or simply the strife, you know, that will ensue if we don't nip it in the bud, if we don't take quick action, you know, if he, those concerns on the surface should apply Beinbar to Beinbachotzaretz. If putting together an ad hoc Bezdin, when necessary, sufficiently addresses this, or going to Eretz Yisrael, or the combination, so why in Eretz Yisrael is there a need for a sitting Bezdin? Right? Just like, why does the Rambam, I could ask the question this way, why did the Rambam and the Chinuch and most Rishonim, the Rabsadjagon and the Bahag and the Smag, why do they all think there's a mitzvah of Minir Dayanim? Why shouldn't it just be Eitzah Tova? Right? What is this mitzvah?
Yeah, where do we have a basis for the Torah being a compilation of Eitzah
Tova? I would say a compilation of Eitzah Tova, but here and there we have Eitzah Tova. And Somtasim Alecha Melech is Machlokes, whether that's a Chiyuv or an Eitzah Tova. The phenomenon is not unknown, put it that way. It's not ubiquitous, especially when you use imperative, you know, laden language, but it's not unknown. You know, there are ample, you know, parallels, precedents, where the Torah says something and it's an Eitzah Tova, right? The Meraglim, you know, was that an Eitzah Tova or was that a Tzivui? You know, Moshe, that's also discussed by Chazal.
What Dayan are we referring to? Just a basin of Shri or
Oh, excellent, excellent. We don't know, right? No. I mean, Shotim Tid, the Chobachal Shoracha, we don't know. So that's one of the things that we're going to discuss in just a minute. But Pashtus, if it's connected to the Mishnah, so Sanhedrin, you know, was obligated to Ein Osin Sanhedros Lishvatim El Api Bezin Shel Shivim V'Yacha. That's a reference to Sanhedrin Ketana, Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel. But we'll see in a moment that that's a debate. Rabbeinu Bechaye says appointing a Bezin Shel Gimel is not included in the mitzvah of Minu Dayanim. That's his view. The Rambam and the Chinuch disagree. They think that Bezin Shel Gimel is included here as well. That's a very good question. Okay, we'll get to that.
This is only an adjudication. It doesn't encompass the other things in the Mishnah.
I think that's fair to say. Okay, that's a good point. It's not a problem, but it's good. It's an important. It's a ha'ara, as we say, 100%. Okay, yeah.
If you look at the pasuk of the Torah, can it be read as being limited to Asher Hashem Elohecha Nosein Lecha?
What do you mean?
You said it was not a mitzvah Hatul Yibaras.
No. What I meant by that...
If you look at the pasuk...
I understand. Or Bisharecha.
Asher Hashem Elohecha Nosein Lecha.
Okay. No. I didn't mean that I had proof... What I meant... I meant it in a very specific sense. What I meant was, you know, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin that, you know, there's something called a Chovas HaGuf, and there's something called a Chovas Karka. And that Chovas HaGufs, all things being equal, apply Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz Aretz. And Chovas Karka is something which is Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz. When I said when I said what I said, what I meant was, this has nothing to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it's not obvious that this is something that should be limited to Eretz Yisrael. It's not a Mitzvos HaTluyos, the phrase Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz, it's a formal designation. It comes from the Mishnah and the Sugya and Kiddusha. That's when the Mishnah says, a chovas hakarka can be mitzvah satliyas baharetz. A chovas haguf is not. These are chovas haguf. It's about Jewish law. It's about following chosha mishpat, following civil law. That, in that sense, I meant, it has nothing to do with the soil, with the ground. It has to do with, you know, communal, the life of the individual, life of the community. It has to do with the rules by which you live. That applies to Jews, you know, in the diaspora, equally. I didn't mean mitzvahs that it's not practically limited to Eretz Yisrael. I meant the phrase mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz. If indeed you limit it, then we need, for example, according to the Ramban, we need to explain why, even though this isn't what I'm calling mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, that nonetheless, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll get back to that. I intend to answer, or to at least address, try to answer all these questions. I'm just setting it up. Okay? But, yeah. So, what really is going on here? So, I think that there are several approaches to take care. The first one is that the mitzvah of show, in other words, basically what I'm trying to explain is what is the benefit of, you know, structuring bate dinim in communities as opposed to, let's say, relying on Gimel Regalim, relying on the ability to put together, when needed, an ad hoc Besdin, etc. Why the... Okay, so on one level, just to be the simplest and the least interesting...
Peer group.
But
it's a peer group.
Peer group?
You have the jury system. You shall be judged by your peers.
Yeah.
The same thing here. And all the Karachim and all these things, you are judged by your peers.
But they're not peers. They're but they're these are Chachamim.
No, of your community. You hear? So we're the only ones that have a jury system.
Yeah.
So we say it's judged by your peers. Other countries have judges. You hear? They too are peers if they're the local.
I don't know if they're peers, local. But I think we're going to get somewhere near local. It. We'll get to it in a second. They don't have to be local. Doesn't a Shevet might be an idea of locals? We'll get to that in a second. Okay, but I think we're getting closer. So let me just explain what I think are some overlapping ideas. The first one is that it is still about efficiency, but we care so much about these three factors, Inu Yadin, Arkos, Shalom, that we're not willing to... we're not willing to, you know, to put it to the test, essentially. We're not willing to risk it. These values are sufficiently critical that we're not going to take the risk, you know, of an ad hoc or an Eretz Yisrael trip, you know, for Gimel Regalim, etc. In which case, it doesn't tell us much about the Mitzvah Minu Dayanim, but it does say a lot about, you know, not wanting to even be in a situation of Safek Inui Hadin or Safek Arkaos, etc., or Safek a lack of Shalom, etc. I think that's one approach which very much might be part of what Ibn Ezra is saying, and so on. The second approach is at least the beginning of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. If you look at the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, you get it a little bit, but it's much more explicit in Sefer HaMitzvot. So we have that here. That's on page 4, starting from line 14 or 15. This is the way the language of the Rambam when he describes this mitzvah. HaMitzvah Kufa in Vav, right, 176th mitzvah. Shetzivanu lemanos shoftim v'shotim. Listen to the language. Sheyachrichu lasos mitzvah satorah. Who will enforce the observance of, you know, Torah life in the Jewish community. Again, you know, we live in a very different environment. You know, we live in an anomalous halachic situation. Right? You could get the impression that, you know, loyalty to Taryag Mitzvos and to Jewish law is voluntary. Right? In our circumstance. We all know that it isn't, but because unfortunately, you know, the very large majority of Achenu B'nai Yisrael are not observant, and you know there's no way to you know to impose observance upon them. So sometimes we, you know, we have this you know sense that, you know, fidelity to religion is a matter of, it's a, you know, it's a voluntary commitment. It was a voluntary commitment once, you know, when Klal Yisrael you know decided and they said Nasav Nishba, or you know, Yom HaShishi, we say that, you know, if Klal Yisrael had not accepted Nasam Nishma, then the whole world would have turned into, you know, Tohu Vav, or back into Tohu Vavo. And then, you know, we don't want to get into the Purim issue, but, you know, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis. The point is that, of course, there was a voluntary acceptance of the Bris by Klal Yisrael, but, you know, like the Psukim say in the Tzavim, you know, once that happened, the Krisus Bris is binding. We say that earlier. But even, you know, Esa Sher Yeshno Ve Esa Sher Einenu. You know, it's the basis for the existence of the world, and certainly for the objective in our lives, to be Shomer Mitzvos and to be Oved Hashem. That's what gives meaning. Keim Chayenu V'Orech Hameinu. We say, you know, Baruch Halokeinu Shebaranu L'Chvodo. V'Yivdilonu Min HaTorah V'Nasan Lanu Torah Sabbas. V'Chaye Olam. This is, you know, what gives us life. So you have to be an initiate and you have to appreciate it to understand it. And but at the end of the day, when you live in a society where everything is voluntary, and it needs to be right now, I'm not advocating for kfiyat datit under present circumstances. But that aside, you know, the word theocracy is like, you know, a politically incorrect word in our time. And it's associated with all sorts of, you know, extremism and violence and terrible values. But, you know, we believe in a theocracy. We just believe in the Rabbona, the real theocracy, you know, which elevates life and gives it, you know, a greater purpose. We don't want the abuses, but the totality of the system with its checks and balances and so on is an idyllic, you know, way of living. So basically, the Rambam and the Chinuch, by extension, explain that, you know, the first element of Shoftim v'Shoftim Titan v'Chol B'Kol Sharecha is precisely to underscore that, you know, Godel HaMetzuvah V'Yosa M'Mishein HaMetzuvah V'Yosa, that there's a concept of Tzivui, and there that the Halacha is a system which, all things being equal, is mandatory, and there's a punitive, you know, aspect as well. Namely, if you don't toe the line, then there's a Bezdin, and there are Onshim. Again, in an era where people have a very different upbringing, you know, and so on and so forth, you can't, not only can't, you wouldn't, it wouldn't be ideal to implement all of this either. That's, you know, what many poskim were trying to say when they expanded the notion of, you know, Tinuk Shenishba, and so on.
The old HaMitzvot, not easy.
Not easy at all, yeah. Right? But that's still the ideal. And this is what the Rambam says. Shetzivanu limno shoftim v'shotrim, sheyachrichu lasos mitzvot haTorah, right? V'yachziru hanotim biderech ha'emes eleha al karcha. This isn't, you know, this isn't all fun and games.
Doesn't sound like fiat datis, does it?
What?
Doesn't sound like fiat datis,
though. I'm not sure what you mean by that, but it is. It is, you know, it's a good thing, but it's you know, it's not religious coercion, but it's a mandatory commitment. Put it that way. V'yitzavu lasos hatov, right? You're obligated to do the right thing. V'yazhiru min hara, and to avoid the, you know, the mishaps. V'yamdu hagedarim ala over ad shaloyu mitzvos haTorah. The Azar Oseha Tzrichos Lamunas Kalish Vish. Right? This is very, you know, in a modern sensibility, this is a little bit disturbing, but it's totally consistent and understandable. Meaning, the Rambam says you don't want to leave the, you know, the observance, you know, up to man's conscience. That doesn't mean we don't prefer that he does it willingly. Of course we do. We want everybody to embrace it. But at the end of the day, it's important enough that there has to be rules and laws, just like in any society. In Jewish halachic society, there are laws, and there's retribution, right? Just as there are in other legal systems. Okay, so that's what the Shoftim v'Shotrim is all about. And then he adds, and that's why, by the way, this is very intriguing, I'll get to that in a minute. Part of the whole system is the hierarchy, which I want to get back to. The zeh kishismanu b'chalir, or b'chalismanu b'chalir shlosha the esrim dayanim, 23 judges mekubatzim kula b'makom echad b'shar ha'ir, all in one place. Shehiru yilam mispar zeh, the city that's appropriate. The elohim sanhedrin katana b'ismanu b'rishlayim b'bezna gadol mishiv dayanim. So he didn't have to say this, but now the Rambam is telling. But basically, the first point in the Rambam is deterrence. Right, if you appoint judges and they're there and people know they're there and they're ready, right, that's going to deter people from stepping out of line. It's going to encourage them to be faithful to their commitment. Then he says, number two, the hierarchy is very critical here. And we'll explain what we mean. What is this hierarchy? On the top, Sanhedrin Agadola and in Yerushalayim, and then Sanhedrin Katana. V'yismana echad al eloa hashivim, v'hu rosh ha-yeshiva, hu shikru ha-chachamim nasi gamkein. Right, the hierarchy of the 70 is the one who the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka actually says is the Makom Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an important formulation. And then Irsha Nashem Ma'atim Sheinu Sanedrin Ketani Yismanu Gimol Lasa Sadina Makatanim. We discussed before. I said the Rabbeinu Bechai is of the opinion that Shoftim Shoftim Titan the Chapa Kol Sharacha does not include Bezin Shel Gimel. The Rambam here in Sefer Mitzvos and the Chinuch do include Bezin Shel Gimel in the hierarchy. Adavra Kasha Yaviu, right? Lani Shehulamala Mehem. There's a hierarchy of authority. V'chein Yamanu Shotrim. This now becomes much more understandable. Who are these Shotrim? Remember, Rashi said that they are just the tools, you know, the bailiff, the you know, the person who enforces the actual piskei din, a very narrow role. But for the Rambam, if the reason that there's an obligation to appoint shoftim is a deterrent, you know, or an encouragement, a deterrent against and an encouragement for, you know, halachic, a deterrent against bad behavior and an encouragement for good halachic behavior, so then shoftim are part of the mix. They don't work for the shoftim exactly. They overlap with the shoftim in their function to encourage, right, proper observance. That's what he says. V'chein yamanu shotrim v'noksim ba'am yisova b'bashukim b'shvakim rather u b'rechovos. They wander around, they make sure everything is going well. Yabitu inyanei ha'am b'yiskeyem actually yasu avel, that people aren't, you know, being you know, unethical. V'afilu b'davar mu'at v'atsiv v'shabam v'itzazu ha'amara shoftim v'shoftim titan b'chol sha'recha. So this also is the perspective of the Sefer HaChinuch, who operates with the Rambam. But I think that one could take this a giant step further, and that is in the positive way. Because this, of course, is important. This is an important theme, the idea of deterrence and presence, the presence of, you know, when it's a, you know, a tense time and people are acting out, you know, you put more police on the streets, or you appoint more judges, or you know, it's a way of highlighting that, you know, the rule of law is nothing to be trifled with. But we'd rather always not just emphasize the negative, right? So it's interesting, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, the next piece, Taf Tzadi Aleph, I skipped the first part because that's almost a word for take off in the Rambam. Then Kedarko, the Chinuch always adds, Shoresh. So Shoresh HaMitzvah Niglahu, it's obvious. Shame, this is a line 80, 38. Shima Dabar Hazeh, with this substructure, this structure in the community, Namid Datenu Bios Emas Alufenu Vishoftenu Apnei HaHamon, we were able to, you know, reinforce or support our religion, right, by virtue of, you know, the presence of Alufenu, right, our spiritual leaders and our judges. Umitoch hergelam betova biyosher, when people become, you know, habituated or accustomed to doing the good and the just and the right, right? Machmas yira, even if they're initially, you know, motivated, you know, out of fear, ilamdu ha'am tivam lasot mishpat v'tzedek me'ava, right? That's, of course, a better goal. B'hakarasam derech ha'emes. Bukin and Shiomru, as it says, Hachachamim, Sharova Hergel, as the Chum say, Sharova Hergel, Humash Acharateva. That, you know, is the basis, behaviorism, basically. Klomar, Kikamosha Tevi Achriach Adam Lamashu, Mevakesh, Kena Hergel Agadol, Choserbo, Kain Teva Kayam Viachrichenu, Lalechet, Bederach Hergel Leola, Ubalechasam Bedarche Yosher Vahemuna, Ubochrim betov tidabek bohem atov yismach Hashem b'masa. This is obviously putting a much more positive twist. But I'd like to explain, I'm not saying the Chinuch says this or the Rambam, but I believe that it's implicit in what they say. And if it's not implicit in what they say, I do still think it's critical to the mitzvah. And that is to take it a little bit of a, along these lines, but an added point. And this is where, not exactly what you're saying about the peers, but I think this is the idea. I mentioned before, v'shaftu was on mishpat tzedek, right? So Rashi says, lishbot, you know, chachamim, you know, tzadikim, lishbot tzedek. Fine. And you can't blame Rashi. I mean, he added a couple of words to the Sefrei, but understandably, like, what do we care, what do we need judges of, you know, great character and integrity for? Because we want them to be the ones who are going to judge and to judge, you know, on a higher level, justly, right? The only problem with it is do we, how many different ways do we need to secure that final proper psak? Okay, maybe that's, maybe many ways. Oh. Let's say you don't have the girsa, or you don't have the added words of Rashbi, lishbot tzedek. Can we think of any other reason why, you know, why appointing judges who themselves are tzaddikim, v'chachamim, is a positive thing, not only positive, but a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Role models.
Exactly. So what I would like to say is that that is the pshat, that's part of the story of Shoftim v'shotrim tita necha b'chol sharecha. Just the presence of Shoftim v'shotrim, especially Shoftim, in the community, in addition to being a deterrent in a very pragmatic way, in addition to providing efficiency, you know, for the three issues that we need to be concerned about, but the presence of such people in the community is impactful. Not exactly peers, more than peers, exemplars, walking role models. That's one of the reasons. By the way, that's one of the connections to Gimel Regalim. Right, the Sifrei, and Bali Tosis quoted Bal Basra, and the Ramban quotes in Sefer Mitzvos, that one of the reasons you go to Yerushalayim as often as you do, right, is to be exposed to the great inspiring, you know, Kedusha and walking Sifrei Torah of the, you know, the Ir Malei Chachamim, the Sofrim. So you have the end of Rei and the beginning of Shoftim. And who are these judges? Gemara tells us right away, not base on base, the pashtus, that they need to be dayanim smuchim. And how do we know that? How do we know the word samuch in the Torah? For the word Elohim, v'nikra balabayis, Elo Elohim. It says Elohim three times, right? That's why we pronounce it Elohim, not Elohim, because it refers to dayanim. But the point I always like to make is, and I think the Ramban says this in his Perash al Torah when he talks about the Easter of Kilas Dayan, Elohim Losa Kalel, I think he says it pretty clearly there. Now again, just to be fair, there are some Elohims in the Torah which clearly refer to Malachim. Right? And Rashi points this out, and the Ramban, Perash al Torah points it out. And sometimes the word Elohim just means rulers, people with power. You know, Yesh Le'el Yadi, you know. And it's quite possible that that's all that we mean when we say that Elohim is a Dayan Samuch. But the truth is that if you look at all three of the contexts that Chazal point to as the Makor for Dayan, in each one you could have read V'nikra Balabayas, you know, Elo Elohim, just as easily. We accept the Torah Shebal Peh that it refers to Dayanim. Why is that important? The point I'm trying to make is that the Dayan Samuch Elohim is certainly a play on the concept of Elohim. In other words, the people who embody the values of Elohim are these Dayanim Smuchim Elohim. And we'll see that when we talk about Smicha more fully, you know, why that should be so. So if that's the case, the Torah tells us, Shoftim b'shotrim titein l'cha, b'chol sharecha. It's not just an Eitz HaTova, it's not just about efficiency. It's also about a deterrence and a way of emphasizing that once Klal Yisrael accepted this covenant, that they're held to it and they can't just, you know, walk away from it. All this is true. But there's a positive component even beyond what the Chinuch says. Not just, you know, b'toch hergelam, b'yosher, b'tov, but the presence, the benefit of a standing court or sitting court, whatever you want to call it, meaning a pre-assembled permanent court, even if you could get equally efficient justice, like the Ramban describes about Chutzlaretz or the Ben Ezra's, you know, Gimel Regalim. Without it, one thing that you're missing is this idea of the impact on the community of having the institution of Bezdin And even more to the point, the personality of Shoftim. That presence is a powerful thing. I believe that is critical to Shoftim, the Shoftim Tiva, the Chalpachal Shirak. It's interesting that the Rambam, when he talks about building yeshivas and communities, the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, so he says, you're obligated to build these institutions. And he uses the same, he says, b'chol pelech u'pelech b'chol ir v'ir. And that phrase does not come, I think, as far as I know, it comes from Shoftim v'shoftim tithon lechum b'chol sharecha, which the Gemara in Makos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Makos Zav Zayin and Sanhedrin and Nudvav Medbeis, speaks about kol pelech u'pelech kol ir v'ir. I think the Rambam borrowed that formulation because having a makom Torah, the community, is of course first and foremost about the function that it serves and chinuch. But in addition to that, and it's true, is that when you have shuls and you have schools in a community, in addition to the services that they provide, the functions that they accomplish, right? The institution itself is just a powerful force in inspiring people, in providing modeling for them, ambitious or aspirational spiritual behavior, etc. So Shoftim Tochit, so getting back to the question, right? The Shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek. So I think the real pshat in the Sifrei is you should appoint people, Dayanim, Chachamim, V'tzadikim. Not Lishpot Tzedek. Of course Lishpot Tzedek. That's Lo Sate Panim B'Mishpat, Lo Sakiru Panim, Lo Saguru Mipneish. Forget about the psak right now. Appointing the people who are worthy and who represent these values in and of its own right is a din. So I think
it could be an inspiration even without the formality of a beis din. The Chazal Nish was maybe never on a beis din, but you certainly could.
And by every community being obligated to have that presence, you certainly make this, a much more powerful force. So the drasha is a famous drasha of the Ran. In the beginning, Parsha Shoftim, it says, we'll finish with this today, and then we'll pick up with some of these nafkaminas and talk about some of the other things next time. Sorry. The Ran has a famous drasha. He too addresses the question, so he starts off quoting the Rashi and the Sifrei, not the way I analyzed it, but or at least raising the question, what's this v'shoftu as'am mishpat tzedek? So the Ramban, the Ran has a different take, and it's very well known because the Abarbanel, picked up on it. The Ran says that there is, that v'shoftu as'am mishpat tzedek is a way of distinguishing between the Dayan and the Melech. He says there are two dinim of mishpat. There's mishpat Dayan, or Shofet, and mishpat Melech. And the way that he structures it is, mishpat Melech is pragmatic law. Political aspects of it, even pure law, but adjusted in a pragmatic way. Basically, the idea of the Ran is that sometimes you can have a clash between idealistic law, let's call it, and or ideal law, law in other words, which embodies values, which has a very high level of spiritual ambition, which also is assuming, in many cases, a certain idealism, etc. Sometimes that kind of law is inefficient, because it's too idealistic. It can be exploited, by cynical people. So that's why there's also something called Mishpat HaMelech. That's the ability to adjust the law according to the political realities of a given, of a given society.
Civic law.
civic law. But does Chosha Mishpat is Jewish? That's what's so fascinating. Because normally Chosha Mishpat is Jewish civil law, right? But what the Ran is saying is Shoftim Shotrim Tita Nachab. It's a beautiful drasha. He made it up. I didn't make it up. Meaning it's his global understanding. But meaning there's no one, as far as I know, ever, you know, suggested this pshat before the Ran, which is amazing. So it's Shoftim Shotrim Tita Nachab B'Chol Sharach Asher Hashem Lokach Naseh Nachab Lishvatecha V'Shoftus Am Mishpat Tzedek means the role of the Shofet is to be done Mishpat Tzedek. I mean, the pure, ideal law, you know, as it's most spiritually ambitious. And then he goes on to say beautiful things. I'm not going to read it because it'll take too long. But he says, you know, the Mishpat Tzedek of Chol Shem Mishpat is no different than the world of Karbanos and Taharos. It's divine law. And it's divine law at its most, you know, spiritually ambitious. As opposed to Choshim Shotim Mishpat Tzedek, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, right, Shehei Mascha Alecha, that's not always going to be Mishpat Tzedek. That's more comparable, as he says, to Mishpat of a Ben Noach. We're going to speak next week about Chutz Laaretz, about Ben Noach in light of all this, about Bezen Shel Gimel, about Bizman Hazeh, in light of this. But that's the Ran's interpretation, and it's just a beautiful, it fits in, it dovetails very much with what I'm saying, meaning the presence of Mishpat, of Dayanim Tzadikim, or, and of a body of law, you know, which is Mishpat Tzedek, even sometimes when, you know, that creates gaps in terms of efficiency, or the ability to exploit, there's still, you know, that's the primary law. That's the law that we aspire to. If we have to adjust it in terms of Mishpat HaMelech, so be it. But still, Shoftim V'Shotrim Titen Lecha, for the goal of Mishpat Tzedek. Okay? Now, of course, this puts a whole different perspective on civil law, Jewish civil law, Chol Shem Mishpat. So I want to talk about that a little bit next week also. The relationship between Chol Shem Mishpat and other branches of halacha, but more specifically also Minu Dayanim, how it fits into the role of Bez and Shalayin Aleph, and some of the Gemaras here.